This is a recording of the open meeting of the Federal Election Commission held on June 15th, 2011. Should you have questions after listening to the recording, please call the FEC at 1-800-424-9530 or email us at info@fec.gov.
The next matter on our agenda is Draft Advisory Opinion 2011-09, a request by Facebook by Mark Elias, Jonathan Birkin, and Rebecca Gordon. I believe they are present, and should the Commission have any questions for them, we will ask them to join us at the table. And we will hear from Ms. Selenkoff of the General Counsel's Office.
Thank you, Chair Bowerly. Good morning, Commissioners. You have for consideration three draft advisory opinions that respond to a request submitted by Facebook. Facebook asks whether the small character-limited ads that it sells to political committees qualify for either the small items or impracticable exceptions to the disclaimer requirements of the Act and Commission regulations. The draft and agenda document 11-32 concludes that neither exception applies, but that the disclaimer requirement is satisfied if consistent with the Google advisory opinion. A Facebook ad links to a web page containing a full disclaimer, and both the disclaimer and the Facebook ad are paid for and authorized by the same persons. Draft B in agenda document 1132A concludes that Facebook ads qualify for the impracticable exception from the disclaimer requirements. Draft C in agenda document 1132B concludes that neither exception applies, but that the disclaimer requirement may be satisfied by technological means. The Commission received one comment on the request and nine comments on the drafts. I'm happy to answer any questions you have.
Thank you, Counsel. The discussion on the drafts, questions for our counsel or any questions for requesters' counsel? Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I apologize to my colleagues for popping in and to Requester for popping in at the very last minute with a draft C, which I'd like to think might get four votes, but I don't really expect it to. It seems to me that when you talk about small items and what's impractical on the Internet, you really, the terms of engagement are different. It's a different kind of media than what we're used to. It's not to try and compare the Internet ads to pens and buttons. The Internet is nothing like pens or buttons. It's got a range of fabulous capabilities that all of the requesters and commenters who asked us to find that the small items and impractical exception apply recognize and tout, and yet when it comes to applying the rules, they say, but just look at it like you would if it were a pen and something that has a very limited number of characters. And it seems to me that talking about character limitations on the Internet, it's sort of like talking about font size on the radio. It's just not the right parameter. It's not the way the medium is organized. The way people use the Internet, nobody goes to the Internet and looks at one page and only one page and then clicks it off and says, I'm done, I've seen everything on the Internet. People are constantly interacting with it and clicking on things, and things are popping up, and I meant to bring my phone with me and I forgot. But I actually have the Facebook app on my phone, and some of the commenters talked about what about on phones and apps, and you know that it's even smaller on the screen. But you know, my Facebook app on my phone is really smart. It I have the chimes turned off, but it will send me a chime when I get a new Facebook message if I want it to. I get, when I turn on the phone, I get an immediate pop-up telling me that my daughter poked me. Doesn't sound very friendly, but I'm sure she means it that way. And if I go, you know, into the sort of the home screen on my phone, the little F has little numbers that pop up to tell me, you know, there's one or two or three new communications on my in my Facebook app right there ready for me. I can go in and look at them. I sometimes get a scroll across the bottom telling me things like, my husband likes my status. I guess that's good. So the the technology has all these great capabilities, even on the phone app and certainly on the bigger screens on your computer, to provide information. You can roll over, you can, things pop up, you can link to things. And I think at base, when we're talking about how are we going to get adequate disclosure, oh my gosh, we're talking about disclosure again and disclaimers. How are we going to fulfill the statutory mandate to provide disclosure? The internet gives us so many capabilities, and I don't want to shut them off. If we say, well, you know, this, it's a little thing, so you don't have to put the disclaimer on there because you couldn't fit it right in there. But if there's a link in there, or if there's a something that pops up when you roll over it, the disclaimer actually is in there. It's just in there in a different way than we're used to thinking about it. So I don't think it's at all impractical to have disclaimers on internet ads. And I don't think we ought to be terribly restrictive about how we how those things appear. We have to be a little bit careful. We don't want to have, I don't want to endorse invisible ink. You know, you got to squeeze the lemon juice on it in order to make the disclaimer appear. But this is the way people normally use the internet, is with links and pop-ups and rollovers, and new things are being developed every day that will provide this kind of information or the capability to deliver this kind of information. In fact, we had one commenter who's jumping up and down and waving his arms and saying, I can do it, I can do it, I can give you some new technology that'll get you your disclaimer information out there. So I think we have to be somewhat flexible with this. Several people suggested that we should do a rulemaking, and I think that might be a good idea. I'd be open to that. The last time we did an internet rulemaking, it was a lot of fun. It was very interesting and engaging, a lot more fun than, you know, talking about allocation regulations or affiliation rules or some of the other things that we have to talk about sometimes. So I'd be open to doing that, and I think that then we could address some of the sort of more in-the-weeds issues of, if you have a disclaimer that pops up, how long does it have to pop up for? You know, I'm not attempting to address that in the draft that I put forward. I think, you know, use your common sense. If anybody's going to try and follow this, it has to be up long enough for somebody to read it. It can't be something that pops up and disappears so fast that nobody could actually read the text. But I think, as long as we're flexible, there's lots of ways that the internet can deliver disclaimers, and we ought to encourage that kind of development of the technology and not discourage it by saying, don't even bother, it's not required. The California Fair Political Practices Commission adopted new rules on this after we did and largely followed our rules. They took testimony from a lot of the high-tech folks in California and asked me to testify, too, about what we had done at the FEC, and I was happy to do that. And they basically followed our rules, but they did get a little bit more specific on this issue of disclaimers and said, you know, yes, as long as it's there. You can use rollovers, pop-ups, links, whatever technology is out there to provide the information. It doesn't have to appear the way it would appear in print because it's not a print document. And so I had been uncomfortable with both of the drafts because I thought that draft A was a little bit too rigid, and I became even more so after I read some of the comments, because I agreed that the limitation to the ad had to be, have the same sponsor as a page that it would link to, and where the full disclaimer would be. I think we can be more flexible than that. If you want to link to somebody else's page, that's fine. Then, you know, you'd have to have some kind of pop-up or rollover technology that would allow the disclaimer on the ad. And then you can link to whatever page you want, and whether there's a disclaimer on that page would depend on the content of that page. What I've put forward, and I, again, apologize for doing it at the last minute, is I think, yes, it says that the exceptions don't apply, but it also encourages innovation and encourages using the capabilities of the internet to provide the kind of information that the statute requires to be provided so that we can all be better informed and, dare I say, maybe have fun getting better informed. So at the appropriate time, you know, I have no idea whether anybody besides me will vote for it, but I will vote for draft C.
Any additional discussion? Commissioner McGann.
Thank you. What we're talking about is rather small ads on Facebook that political participants might want to buy. And it's an emerging technology, and I hear we want to be flexible, but really some are saying no. So flexibility means no. We want to encourage the development of technology. That means the government's going to tell you how to run your business. That's what I hear. And that's being harsh, and it's being harsh kind of on purpose. And historically, there's been some flexibility on disclaimers. The statute itself recognizes this. The regs have recognized it. AOs have recognized it. MERS have recognized it. Small items and where disclaimers are impracticable is a carve out for the disclaimer requirements. You know, today a bumper sticker, you can actually have a disclaimer that the ink actually no longer runs, and you can actually have it be legible. I mean, one the reason why you didn't have disclaimers on bumper stickers because the ink would smush. You'd have sort of the union bug squished, and then the disclaimer, and no one could read it, and it looked horrible. And I think the assumption with the small items and the impracticability deal is that people are smart enough to know what they're looking at, and we have to be able to trust people to realize it's a Facebook ad, which doesn't, I don't think, convey a lot of content. That's going to be one of the questions I'm going to have for the requesters. So, if Madam Chair, if it's okay for them to start a motion while I warm them up as to what I'm thinking about. Two, I don't think they can just change their technology and do it as easily as we would think, because ultimately it's business. And third, I want to get into impracticability. Yes, there is a commenter that seems to say they can sell you the technology to make this work. There's a lot of other comments saying other things. The one that jumped out to me was Well in Lighthouse, which is a consulting firm that does digital media, including Facebook. They filed the comments through counsel, Bob Linhard, and you know, he takes head on. His client takes head on the supposed solution of, so long as if you click on the Facebook ad and the page you go to has a disclaimer, well, then that's close enough and that works. The problem is first, what if the ad sends you to somewhere that's not a political committee or not within your control, and you're just sending somebody to a page because that's what you want to do? Does that mean you cannot do a Facebook ad? I guess the answer is you can't. That seems to deny the ability for them to voice their views on Facebook. In addition to that, whether or not the landing page has a disclaimer is a separate issue, as I see it. That's a separate violation if it's a campaign or a political committee. They need to have a disclaimer. If they don't have one, that's a separate deal. And that really is wholly unrelated to them putting an ad on Facebook. I respectfully disagree that the internet, the analogy with the internet and the radio, I think this is a lot like the wireless phone AO, where there was a certain number of characters. And I think this is consistent with what the commission's done in the past. What I want to do is consistent with what the commission's done in the past. I think, but I'm not entirely sure, because impracticability is a little bit different than impractical. Impractical means you just, you know, can't do it because it doesn't. It's hard. Impracticability is a little bit of a higher standard. I think it's impractical. I think there's impracticability here, but I'd like to ask counsel for his reaction to the discussion specifically. Give me a little bit more as to why this is impracticable from a technology point of view today. If I want to buy an ad on Facebook today, why you can't just do this?
Thank you, Commissioner. I think we need to answer your question. I need to start with from whose perspective, and this is a little bit backwards because I'm here actually on behalf of the vendor, as opposed to on behalf of the candidate. If I were here on behalf of the candidate, which is really the perspective from which the regulation is written and from which it should be interpreted. From the campaign standpoint, it is not only impractical, it is impossible, because Facebook doesn't sell rollover ads. Period. End of story. Done. It's impossible. Now, the fact that I happen to represent Facebook means we could build a different technology. If I were here on behalf of Ford Motor Company, we could build cars with four bumpers.
Let me ask you about
that. And each bumper could be very big.
Not to interrupt. Are you familiar with all the disclaimers on TV ads that car dealers do, like the lease deal, and they have that whole thing at the bottom of the ad?
I am.
And cigarettes, you have all that stuff about how bad cigarettes are for children and whatnot. Any experience with car dealers or folks putting ads on Facebook? And if so, do they have to put all that stuff on your ads?
Can I invite?
Because that's
other agencies.
That's another regulatory agency, and you know, you're making sure consumers know what's in their best interest.
The short answer, Commissioner, is yes. The American Motor Companies buy quite a bit of Facebook advertising, and no, they do not include those extensive disclaimers at the bottom of their Facebook ads.
Oh, wow.
So I think to answer your question on the impracticability, it is impracticable. The regulation is talking about the obligation of the campaign or the purchaser to put a disclaimer. From their standpoint, it is entirely impractical. In fact, it is impossible. So from the campaign's perspective, and I don't want to lose sight of this, the thing about about advertising on sites like Facebook is that it allows small campaigns an opportunity to get their message out. Big campaigns can spend millions of dollars on television ads. For Joe Jones, who's running for House in some place out in America, for $500, he can take out a Facebook ad and link to ActBlue. If he's a Democrat, he can link to ActBlue. That's it. That's his infrastructure. He's got $500. He's got a message that says, vote for me in my campaign, and it links to ActBlue. You get to ActBlue. ActBlue's got an ActBlue disclaimer because ActBlue has to have an ActBlue disclaimer. Joe Jones's $500 isn't going to make Facebook stand up and write a new set of code and provide a new option of rollover disclaimers. So the reality of it is either the commission is going to say it is impractical under the regulation for those campaigns, which I believe it is, or else Joe Jones isn't running Facebook ads because, or for that matter, you know, any other ad that would require a similar technology. And it is a shame because, in fact, we will have shut off the ability of small campaigns to operate grassroots activity to raise small dollar donations on the internet. And that's really, frankly, at the end of the day, who suffers if we wind up without this impracticability. I want to take issue with one thing that was said in one of the set of commenters. If you're American Crossroads and you're a 501c4, you don't have disclaimer requirements anyway. They get to run their ads anonymously, with or without this advisory opinion. So the oddity of draft A, and I know it may not be there's a constituency or four votes for draft A, the oddity of draft A is 501c4 is not doing express advocacy because most of these ads aren't express advocacy. They don't have disclaimers anyway. The only people getting punished are going to be the hard money committees. So we're actually going to drive more actors out of hard money committees into undisclosed committees. Disclosure favors, frankly, in my view, draft B. I mean, draft B will make it easier for party committees to operate who disclose. They disclose on their FCC reports they bought Facebook ads. They oftentimes link to their own websites, which have disclaimers. It's going to make it easier for candidate committees to act. They disclose. And frankly, you know, if you make it harder for them, you're just making it, it is another step that I think the commission has taken in the wrong direction.
So. Let me take a step back and ask a larger policy question. There's been a lot of talk about disclosure. And as I understand the purpose of disclosure, it's so the voters have information. If there is not a disclaimer on a Facebook ad, what's really the harm to the voter? Because these ads are not that big. They don't convey a lot of content. They tend to be small, kind of punchy, as I understand it.
They are small.
Right.
And they will oftentimes, and we shouldn't lose sight of this, then it's a point that you made that I think is correct, they will oftentimes actually link to the political committee's website, at which point there is a disclaimer. There's a full disclaimer. To the extent they leak, a candidate wants to highlight the fact that a local newspaper has endorsed them, and they link to the newspaper site.
Which doesn't have a disclaimer.
Doesn't have a disclaimer.
So then the campaign can't do that.
Presumably.
And the voter won't necessarily get that information. So it actually could potentially have less information for the voter, meaningful information. Do you see harm to the voter in not having a disclaimer on a Facebook ad? I mean, particularly when you compare it to the fact you don't have to put disclaimers on T-shirts or hats or bumper stickers. I mean, I guess you could do some massive dirty trick campaign with, like, stealth bumper stickers and hide your identity, but that seems so far-fetched, right?
Look, I think the commission...
What's the harm?
Two things. First of all, I don't think there's a harm. Second of all, the commission crossed this in Target Wireless. Mm-hmm. I mean, I honestly don't understand why the cellular phone industry wasn't told, well, just create a technology where rather than when you send a text message, it has to link to some other place, and on a smartphone it would pop up. These same arguments presumably could have been made, and in fact I think in one of the drafts were considered to be made, and the commission came down in favor of saying 140 or 160. I should know what the limits to text messaging is small item or impractical. And I think from the standpoint of who is the regulated here, which is the campaigns, it is the same here. The campaigns are powerless to do anything other than not buy the ads. If in fact the commission by four votes were to determine that were the case.
Thank you. General thought maybe for discussion among the commissioners. First, what is the harm to the voter if they don't have a disclaimer? But more importantly, too, and I'm reading again the comments filed by Bob Lenhardt's client, where he says the scope of the decision is limited to its facts, i.e. it only involves ads that have a maximum of 160 characters, a level previously deemed warranting an exception in AO 2002-09, and consequently presents a limited response to a limited question. Is there a concern that there's a slippery slope here and this is going to lead to bigger ads and more carve-outs of disclosure? Because if it's really just limited to the facts of Facebook ads, I'm having trouble seeing what the harm is here. If it's a slippery slope, we could probably carve this in. I mean, I agree with this commenter. I mean, when you look at the exception to the disclaimer, it really is limited to its facts. In theory, somebody else that maybe has 159 characters comes within, you know, Singular Wireless. If somebody else has it, but generally speaking, I don't see a slippery slope here. Is that a concern that's driving the thought, or is there something else that I'm missing?
Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I don't know if this addresses direct. I think it addresses your question. Let me back up for a second. If we're talking about candidates, I mean, basically, you already know about the Google AO. I know you know about the Google AO that provides that, you know, if the candidate is putting up a Facebook page that's going to link to his own website, then, and that website will presumably have a disclaimer on it, He's home free. He's fine. He's golden with that. So, you know, I hear what you're saying about, well, but what if he wants to link to ActBlue? But it seems to me at that point, you know, we're talking about one click or two. So he can link to his own website that's got the disclaimer, and then his website will link to ActBlue if he wants to collect his donations that way. It's not an insurmountable barrier. Every additional click makes it, you know, a little bit less likely that people will do that. But, you know, that's what people do on the Internet. They click on things. I think you've raised a number of issues that are worth considering, you know, and would be more appropriate to consider in a rulemaking context. And we'd get, you know, a lot we got actually quite a number of comments here, and that was good. They weren't all on one side. They weren't. Some people actually did not support Draft B.
The lobby for, well, there was one set of comments that came from a reform group that was opposed, and then there was a vendor who wishes to sell technology.
I get that. Okay. I get that, but that doesn't mean the technology doesn't exist. You know, if you're talking about what's impractical, you know, we're not telling you to go out and develop new stuff that doesn't exist. And I think, you know, again, if you look at the Target Wireless AO and compare this to that, you know, that was before any of our times on the commission, and technology moves fast. I'm not sure that Target Wireless would get the same answer today that it got back then, not necessarily because there are different commissioners here, but because technology is, you know, it seems to be a lot more flexible now than it was back then. You know, I'm not sure if they considered all of the, you know, different ways that a disclaimer might have been delivered by text message because I wasn't here, but I'm quite sure that there are more things today than were available back then, and there will be more things tomorrow and the next day. You know, if we're talking about, you know, candidates and parties, it seems to me that they are most likely to be linking to a page with a disclaimer and would be fine. The, you know, I hear what you say, that that won't always be the case. But like I said, you know, okay, so you add a click, you know, and you get better disclosure and disclaimers. What I think is of more concern to me is that we would be creating for the first time an exception, using one of these exceptions on mass media. You know, the internet has just a much huger potential to reach people, which is why you like it. You know, that's one of its benefits. You can reach a lot of people on the internet in a way that handing out pens just isn't going to get you, right? There's only so many people you can find and hand your pens to. But, you know, the internet, fairly inexpensively, you can reach a whole lot of people. So I think outside of the context of a rulemaking, we ought to be careful of extending exceptions to a mass media like that, a mass medium like that. And I think the what would be of more concern to me than the candidate and the party committees and the way they're likely to use it, and I note that I'm sure this is completely coincidental, but one of the party committees filed a comment represented by one of your partners. What a coincidence.
Actually, three of the party committees filed comments represented by one of my partners.
Okay. Still, quite a coincidence there. But other people could, you know, other people besides candidates and party committees could use these Facebook ads to drive traffic to somebody else's website. And who those people are would not necessarily be apparent.
But they're not currently subject to the disclaimer requirements. That's exactly my concern. My concern is that currently, if you're a 501c4 and you say, read this article about how bad Joe Jones is, okay, it's not express advocacy. There's no disclaimer required under the current FEC regulations. So the only people you're capturing today are to put another small rock on the weight, on the burden of federally registered political committees. You make the load a little bit lighter for the unregulated and a little bit heavier for the regulated, because the unregulated already don't have disclaimers, and they don't report it. And the folks that do report it now have to click twice or have to go to someone who's trying to sell this or that and add a little bit more expense and burden to it. Not to mention the question of what you do with 441AD. I suppose the party committees can no longer, under, if there were four votes for draft A, their party committees...
Nobody's voting for draft A that I know of.
Okay,
maybe I'm wrong.
There would no longer be the ability of party committees to spend on these kinds of ads, because if you linked to, if the DSCC or the NRCC took out an ad that said give to Congressman Jones or Senator Jones, and it linked to Senator Jones' contribute page, it would have a wrong disclaimer. If it linked to Act Blue, it would have a wrong disclaimer. If it linked to their own page, then we'd wind up before the commission on a MER that says we're earmarking money through the national party committees to benefit only certain candidates, and that violates the earmark regulations. So there would be in fact no more solution to what to do in that circumstance. And I think that the fact is that technology may change, as you suggest it has perhaps for Target Wireless, that in 5 years the technology is pervasively different. And at that point, you know, it's not impracticable. You know, query whether it's still impracticable for bumper stickers. I never understood why it was impractical, frankly, for water towers. Someone's going to have to explain to me what it was ever impractical about putting a disclaimer on a big water tower.
I agree with you.
I've also, by the way, never seen
it. It was a laborer's safety concerns. OSHA, I think.
I've also never actually seen advertising on water tower.
But, well, I guess it's not a problem then.
But be that as it may,
they're tough to paint.
It just seems to me that in the here and now, what you have is a democratizing technology that small campaigns try to use to try to get their message out in an inexpensive fashion. They're reporting it to the FEC. If they're linking to their own website, there is a disclaimer on the website. And the big, bad outside groups aren't covered by this anyway. So the commission faces a choice to squeeze them further. That's policy. Going back to just the law, I am left back where I started, which is from the campaign's perspective, it is impracticable. There is no solution to that for them. It may be that there are technological solutions for the vendors, but for the campaigns, it clearly meets the plain text of the regulation as the regulation is currently written.
I thought you were representing the vendor.
I am.
You said the vendor could do it.
My point is that the fact that that Ford could build a car with four bumpers rather than two and make them really big doesn't mean that campaigns can't rely on the impracticability.
You probably don't want to tell DOT that because they may take you up on it.
I assume the size of the bumpers to make the bigger bumper stickers is your
well, they could put, well,
there you go.
It is both to make a bigger bumper sticker. Or, as an alternative disclaimer, they could put the bumper sticker on one bumper and then have an alternative disclaimer on the side bumper.
Right. And when they have a banner plane, you can have a separate banner for the disclaimer. Right.
Commissioner Weintraub, if I could just respond just with a thought about the mass media point that you were making. I understand the point. I just want to point out the technological difference in the way that Facebook ads work, specific to the facts of our question. Some ads on the internet work where I can buy an ad, for example, on the Washington Post, and every single person that comes to the Washington Post will see that ad. That would be mass media as I think you're describing it today. Facebook ads are actually much more similar to bumper stickers and to buttons than they are to that scenario, in that Mark and myself and yourself could all go to Coca-Cola's Facebook page. And he might see an ad for Steve Israel, and I might see an ad for Senator Cornyn, and you might see an ad for somebody else. The ads are very specific to the people that are viewing them. And so in that sense, the ads are like bumper stickers. They are like campaign buttons in that they are being delivered to people very specifically on an individual level rather than broadcast to anybody who passes by. I mention that just because that our question today is a little bit different than perhaps the question that might be brought by other advertising companies, which do offer more of the you drive by and it doesn't matter who you are, you're seeing this giant message from candidate Y.
I hear what you're saying. But it's not like I'm the only person who's going to see that ad. My ad might be different from your ad, might be different from his ad, but a whole lot of people are going to see all of these ads because, you know, that's the nature of the environment. You don't take it, nobody's going to advertise on Facebook and say, here, I want you to place one ad on Ellen Weintraub's Facebook page, right? No one's going to pay for that,
not
right?
But like campaign buttons, it's not uncommon for us to see campaigns.
You'd advertise for me to support your advisory.
If I could.
But not unlike campaign buttons, it is not at all uncommon on Facebook to see a candidate pay $500 for a very small targeted group. And so to me, that is, I think, a technical distinction than how much advertising works in other parts of both the offline and online world. We are talking generally, our political ads sales don't tend to be multi-million dollar buys for millions of people. They tend to be $500 increments for the Republicans that live in Blue Springs, Missouri. And that is, I think, in that sense, a little bit different than mass media as it's being imagined here.
Well, I guess it depends on how you're imagining the mass media. Maybe
indeed.
I'm not
indeed.
Imagining mass media the way you're imagining mass media. But, you know, it still seems to me to be very different from a pen or a bumper sticker. But, you know, I hear you that it's different. I think you're right. It is different. And that argues for a rulemaking rather than an advisory opinion request, because you can say, oh, this is just about Facebook. But in fact, you know, you've got comments from AOL. You've got comments supporting you from other technological folks who want to use the same. They're going to use this opinion as a precedent. And any internet ad that's out there, you know, I'm pretty confident my colleagues would say, well, you know, what we said to Facebook has to apply to people who use MySpace, has to apply to people who use, does anybody still use MySpace? I don't know. Has to apply to, you know, whoever develops a new, you know, the next big thing tomorrow. You know, so it's not, I think it's a little bit disingenuous to suggest that we're only talking about Facebook ads.
Well, Commissioner, with all due respect, as you pointed out indirectly, this is not my first rodeo on this topic.
On any topic.
It's true.
I particularly like that in the request you suggested that I invited you to come in and ask this question, as if you need an invitation.
Well,
Mr.
But this, I think, in fairness to Facebook, the posture of how we wind up here is that Google came in for an AO that tried to establish a character delineated impracticability or small items application. And the commission spoke clearly that, and Facebook commented, and the commission spoke clearly, and I was counsel for Google and tried to address some of the, relay some of the concerns that Facebook had, and the commission spoke clearly that if Facebook wanted an opinion for Facebook's facts, that Facebook should come in and ask for an opinion. So here Facebook is asking, setting forth its facts and asking for an advisory opinion, and while I would think a second rulemaking on the internet would be a grand idea. I think I have suggested such in other forums that it would be a great idea. There are today thousands and thousands of ads being placed on the internet and hundreds or dozens being placed on Facebook, and campaigns are being run today. They are. And I can assure you that they are proceeding under the controlling legal authority that without exception, the practicing bar believes is in place, which is Target Wireless, which is you got 100 and some odd characters, and it's small items. And, you know, here we are with the facts now of Facebook seeking to see whether or not the commission can address the facts here in the way in which it was suggested was not appropriate to do, sort of indirectly through the last advisory opinion.
And I'm prepared to address your facts, just not necessarily in the way you want me to. You know, I'm you know, because I've got a statute, you know, that says ads are supposed to have disclaimers.
You've got a regulation, Commissioner, and I would love to hear the analysis, how it is that this is not impracticable.
I've told you the technology exists to provide this information, and I'm willing to be very flexible about how the information is provided. It doesn't have to be in sort of the traditional, you know, you got to squeeze the entire, you know, paid for by and authorized by into that little box on the Facebook page. But I do think, you know, barring a rulemaking, and I'm willing to reconsider in a rulemaking context, I'm not willing to make that kind of policy decision to exempt internet ads from disclaimers.
It would be entirely appropriate for you to say that this is your chance to ask me questions, not the reverse. But I am hard-pressed to figure out what would be impracticable. What could technology not solve? What ad is ever impracticable?
I don't know, but the internet, it seems to me, is particularly good at solving technological problems. That's what we love about it.
I mean,
Commissioner Peterson?
Thank you, Madam Chair. First of all, let me thank you for the request that you submitted. I think that it was an excellent request and did an excellent job laying out just how influential of a political tool Facebook has become. That, I mean, almost any candidate worth his or her salt has to have a Facebook presence. And as you pointed out, it's especially an important one for those who are the upstart challengers who don't have the resources to maybe launch the traditional type of media campaign that more established candidates can. And let me, at the same point, just thank all those who we received many comments from a variety of different perspectives, and I think that they were all excellent. I certainly appreciate the people who took the time to do that, because I think that they were all well written, well argued, and certainly have contributed a lot of. A lot of good arguments and a lot of good information on this. The question I have, and the way I'm hearing you state this, is that if Facebook is faced with a choice either to basically modify its technology, its current technology, invest the time, resources, money, whatever it would take to modify its technology in order to comply with a commission dictate that says, well, and you know, these ads don't comply with the disclaimer requirement unless they have some sort of rollover or some other technological enhancement which your technology currently doesn't have. To make that update, I'm assuming would take more time and money than maybe we would just assume offhand. But if you were to choose between doing that to accommodate one small sliver of potential ad buyers on Facebook versus just saying we're just not going to sell ads to basically political committees, if I was hearing you correctly, Mr. Elias, you were saying that would basically mean that political committees candidates just wouldn't be able to buy ads on Facebook?
So, if the commission issued such an opinion, the obligation obviously would not be on us, and so the regulated community would be the committees purchasing ads. And so, from that perspective, I think it's worth noting it would immediately, in this moment, disrupt a number of national, local, as in congressional, Senate campaigns, many of whom, including I think all of the major Republican presidential candidates, are running Facebook ads today. So, at a minimum, mm-hmm. it would stop in this moment those folks from running Facebook ads. As to what we might do to try to accommodate the market, I simply can't speak to that because we're in the middle of a cycle. And so I honestly don't know how quickly and at what expense. If we have an indefinite period of time to try to iterate and improve our product, we usually try to do so. And we often catch a lot of flack for it in the public, but we try to do so. In this particular case, we have an exceptionally limited amount of time working with a relatively small advertising market. I don't know if we would be able to or be willing to absorb the cost necessary to rewrite our ads platform to accommodate what is a relatively small political ads market in the time necessary to accommodate the 2012 political cycle. Beyond that, I don't know what happens after 2012. I do know, the only thing I know for certain is that all of the campaigns running ads today would have to stop running ads if they didn't want to run afoul of this commission.
Okay. Thank you.
Commissioner McGann.
Thank you. Couple more questions. Let's say there's a Facebook ad that pops up the day after a local newspaper endorses a candidate. You sort of alluded to this, and I was playing with it in my mind, and let me try to tease it out a little bit. So the local paper, let's call it the Shinbone Star, endorses candidate Jones, and the ad says, Shinbone Star endorses candidate Jones. And you click on it, and it takes you to the Shinbone Star, and there's the endorsement. Now, if that ad is paid for by the newspaper, no one has any problem with that, I assume. But if it's paid for by candidate Jones, well, that's a problem. So candidate Jones can't buy the same ad the newspaper can buy to drive voters to the same exact content, even though if they purchased the ad, their own disclosure report would show $500 to Facebook. So the public knows they at least paid money to Facebook. Given that Citizens United made clear you can't treat speakers differently, do you think that raises an issue, Mr. Elias?
I'm going to let the commission determine what the extent to which it wants to let constitutional considerations interfere with the statute and the regulations as written.
We don't like to think of them as interfering with the statute.
Fair enough. You're right. In fairness, not
even Paul Ryan smiled.
In not interfering, but that's a balance that commission needs to reach. I will say two things though to your point though. The first is that we wound up those of us who do not embrace and applaud the Citizens United decision. We wound up there because the commission took an inflexible position that caused litigation to take place that led to a result that, in retrospect, if you asked folks who opposed Citizens United, they would have let them run the movie. They would have said, go make your movie, be done with you, let's not litigate this and turn this into a bigger thing. There, if in fact the commission were to have four votes to come to the place, that internet advertising becomes impractical for anyone other than unregulated political committees, the press, and corporate America, then who knows how much all of that nice language about disclosure and disclaimers gets upheld. Because if that becomes the touchstone that effectively acts as a bar against this activity, then it ceases to simply be a let's make sure the public is informed in those places where we can, and it becomes something worse than that. And I would not want to see that happen. I believe in disclosure, and I believe in the important role that it plays in our system. And there is, as I said, an oddity to the way this debate is taking place, where the corporations of America and the unregulated political committees of America are going to be able to run those ads, And the only ones who are not going to be able to are the ones who are playing by the rules that this commission upholds, the Federal Election Campaign Act. And there is a regulation on the books about impracticability that gives this commission an opportunity to avoid exactly the kind of constitutional issues that you raise.
Another question, kind of on the same lines. Let's say a member of Congress introduces a bill. Let's say it's a reform bill. And his campaign does a press release that says, you know, Congressman Jones introduced a bill to clean up the government. You know, whatever the bill says, it doesn't matter. Campaign buys a Facebook ad, and it says, read about Congressman Jones fighting for clean elections or ethics in government or whatever the bill's about. And it links to the campaign. Now, the campaign's going to have a disclaimer, so I think enough of us say, okay, that'll work. But let's say, you know, a think tank or a nonprofit or someone who's not a campaign puts up a press release saying Congressman Jones today introduced a bill to do X, Y, and Z. And let's say Congressman Jones would rather have the people on Facebook be driven to that press release, right? So the campaign spends $500 to say an ad, same exact ad that says, you know, Congressman Jones introduces bill, right? And it links to a press release and say, oh, I don't know, the Campaign Legal Center website. The commenter saying that, you know, we got to really watch this kind of thing. So let's say they're pushing the bill and the campaign wants to drive traffic to their site. They can't because they don't have a disclaimer. That's kind of weird.
That's the scenario I'm addressing. Query whether or not if it was set aside the House and Senate ethics rules, let's assume it's not an incumbent. Let's assume it's a challenger. Challenger wants to say Congressman Jones.
Well, even an incumbent can push, can campaign on legislation they introduced.
Right. But it's a slightly different hypothetical. They want a link to the official government website. Okay, there'd be issues if the campaign, if a incumbent campaign. But let's say a challenger says, "My, you know, Congressman so and so hasn't
done enough
to
build a silent speech."
Correct.
And they want a link to House.gov.
House.gov. Presumably, they couldn't do that unless they could convince House.gov to put a paid for by, or some other kind of disclaimer on the official government website.
And that's the problem that the alternate draft doesn't.
And it's why I think it's
address and doesn't fix.
It's the reason why it's impracticable, because from the standpoint of that challenger, what could be more impracticable? I mean, he can't control the website on their landing page, and he can't
control, the government.
Can't control the government
because he's a challenger.
I have a couple questions, and these are out of the blue. So if you either don't know the answer to or you don't think it's in the interest of your company to answer them, I fully understand. Do you know whether Facebook sells ads to candidates in California state races?
Yes, we have.
Okay, so they have a regulation.
So that regulation actually applies not to candidate committees. I actually was invited by that commission to help participate in discussions. We helped develop that language. That language actually only applies to ballot initiatives in the state of California, and then to very specific independent expenditures for exactly the reasons discussed here today. They did not address candidate committees or the party committees that then can run ads on their behalf. Beyond that, California also doesn't have target wire. Wireless and a couple of other exemptions, but worth noting, the FPPC did try to address these issues, decided to wait until the FEC acted because they were unable to address the issue of candidate committees. I just happened to have been in the room when it was drafted.
Question the wisdom of waiting until
well,
the FEC
I question the wisdom of the state of California with some frequency. So.
I guess my question was, so for the ads that they have decided that need the rollover technology, so I assume the people, ballot initiatives are obviously very active in mm-hmm. California when, you know, I can't imagine how many are, you know, planned for the next cycle. So for those efforts, those ads are not, so folks cannot buy ads on Facebook? Is that what was happening in
So the Commission's regulation for ballot initiatives doesn't require rollover technology. It actually very specifically attempted to incorporate technology that was already available, much as we're discussing here today. And so for ballot initiative type campaigns, those ads must link to a page operated by the ballot initiative, mm-hmm. which in the case of a ballot initiative is not only, I think, expected behavior, but fairly reasonable behavior. It still doesn't address the scenario that we're talking about here today, perhaps the San Francisco Chronicle endorses a vote on a ballot measure, that would not be acceptable under the current California regulations. It was an issue we raised in front of that commission, and I believe that that commission actually anticipates revisiting some of those issues because these questions that you're wrestling with today are the same ones they're wrestling with.
Mm-hmm. And I would hope and assume that if we were to engage in a rulemaking, which I, from my perspective, is something that we should strongly consider, and I'll ask my colleague to do that, because I do think that it's very difficult in this context. We have a statute that says disclaimers are required. We do have some regulations, frankly, ancient regulations in terms of things like bumper stickers and water towers, and adopted in 1995 compared to where we now are now in terms of what the internet does and what it looks like. And while I hear you about Target Wireless, I do think that it's not enough in this area. I mean, that's a very specific and limited usefulness, and I think there's other alternatives that people might want to do. So I don't think this is just this can't be just a policy decision about whether there's harm to voters, because I don't think we really have that flexibility in this instance. My concern is that in this particular case, I think part of this challenge is who's the requester. I agree with you. The committees may not have this option, but they have a requirement that they're supposed to be putting disclaimers on the ads they run on the internet. The reg about running, you know, putting disclaimers on ads on the internet was adopted. Perhaps I was on the commission at the time. I think that was a, shall we say, involved rulemaking. Maybe tackling things like the exceptions was not either brought up or raised or discussed. I don't know, but I think it's something that I would ask my colleagues to consider, whether we could maybe not revisit the entire scope of what that is, but with respect to these exceptions and disclaimers, provide some flexibility where we can still provide the information that's required by the statute, because I think that is the goal here.
And Chairwoman Bauer, if I may, I mean, on behalf of Facebook, we weren't an active political vendor when the first internet rulemaking was undertaken. I think we would be happy to be involved in that kind of rulemaking in the future. What we're looking for clarity on is the fact that President Obama, Mitt Romney, I mean, all of the major campaigns from the congressional level all the way to the very top are running ads today, and they lack clarity. And so we come to request understanding of how they can run ads today. I think that a rulemaking in the future is something that Facebook would be glad to be supportive of, because, as you noted, this is an area that's ever-evolving, and many of the issues, many of the rules that the commission has to work from are now a bit dated based on the technology available. Mm-hmm.
If I might take a moment for an administrative matter, I'm sorry, I did introduce Mr. Elias and Mr. Burkhan, but we don't have your name
for
the record.
Sure, my name's Corey Owens, and I'm on the public policy team at Facebook.
Thank you. We appreciate your comments today. We just did not have you as in part of the notice to appear, so we're happy to have you here.
And that's my fault, Chair. I wish to apologize.
Well, that's fine.
Actually Rebecca Gordon.
I just thought we should not refer to him in our minutes as Mr. Facebook, because that's probably inaccurate. So, Commissioner Walther, I believe you.
No, thank you, Madam Chair. I just had a few questions. I'd like to just read the fact that this is my ex-party communication. I did talk to Mark Elias this morning. Earlier this morning, I spoke on the phone with Mark Elias, who served as counsel to Facebook in the above-referenced advisory opinion. Mr. Elias and I discussed Facebook's advisory opinion request, as well as both the draft advisory opinions that have been released by the commission and the comments that have been filed in response to those drafts. I think I go back to the you remember Watergate, or are you too young? But anyhow,
I read about it.
But not on Facebook.
But I was alive in that sense. I was alive.
Well, let me just tell you. I remember Watergate because the fellow who carried the bag, the infamous bag.
I thought he was asking whether you were there. I wasn't really sure where that was going.
I'm about to tell you how close I was.
That's a great story.
The fellow who carried the infamous bag of money to the phone booth was a classmate of mine in law school. And the next thing I knew, he was before a Senate hearing, talking about disclosure in a different way. But what basically, we're all here, you know, largely because of Watergate and the need, a recognized universal need to improve our democratic system by disclosure. Now more than ever, in view of Citizens United, this is, befalls us to make, I think, extra care that disclosure at least survives. So, you know, we are all novices at the technology that, you know, we're engulfed by. And so I think, you know, it's always catch up for us. If we had this hearing 6 months from now or 6 months ago, some of the things we'd be talking about might be different just because of the way things are happening. But we did get this one comment, and I did want to ask you about the California experience, and thank you for that, because that was of interest to me. I did talk to Mr. Alas today about what happens when a medical company wants to ad, have an ad in Facebook, and they have some requirements that they have to disclose, and rightfully so, and others may, there may be other parts of the industry, but in order to serve, I mean, just as a public service, the use of Facebook to make medical information available, have you given thought to a way in which they can also provide their disclaimers or whatever they call them in the medical industry so that the public can get the benefit of the medical industry's ads, but that also allows them to participate in giving the public all the information they need to make a safe decision as to whether or not to buy, you know, life-saving medicines?
So I thank you for the question, because I think it's an interesting example. I think there are obviously differences between sale of pharmaceuticals and political speech, but there's an interesting relationship in terms of how we talk about disclaimers. Facebook, in our terms, would allow a pharmaceutical company to advertise medicines on Facebook so long as they complied with applicable law. As a result, no pharmaceutical companies advertise medicines on Facebook. To the point before, that the regulated entity in this case would be the pharmaceutical companies. We are in a position where, theoretically, I could ask 100 engineers to rewrite our advertising platform so that they could display the lengthy descriptions of conditions treated, side effects, et cetera, et cetera. But we have not, nor has almost any other advertising vendor on the internet. As a result, the pharmaceutical companies don't do much communication about medicines and conditions that people suffer from online because of that particular disclaimer requirement.
Well, I was interested in the comment that was made by this company that you mentioned is in the business here, and I don't know anything about it, but I did find it interesting, some of the comments they made about the availability and to provide that. And one fact that was of interest to me was that in May of 2011, you know this better than anybody, there were 700 million users of Facebook.
Our publicly released number is 500 million. But yes, there are many Facebook users.
500 to 700. 500 is at least the total population of the United States. And so if people want 700, it's almost double that. Now, we have to be careful, it seems to me, about what we say as to how to preserve our democracy when we have an avalanche of new technology that makes communication available, sometimes not only for the small person, that's very important, but also for those that have huge amounts of money to invest in causing us to form our opinion on who to elect. And when we get to thinking about that, you know, when it comes to disclosure, then I find myself required to pretty much, in an even case, land on the side of disclosure. And that's the issue for me. And I'm not sure, and I think we should have a rulemaking, and I think maybe we should just, because of the way we operate here, it's not very efficient. I guess you've gathered that by now. I know, Mark, you certainly do. We have a little stovepipe approach, and we have a little committee, and if nothing, you know, if it's no white smoke out of the committee, we don't do anything. But I do think we ought to have a little... We ought to have an agreement, and I would ask the chair, and she wanted to do that, that maybe the open hearing after next hearing is Mr. Colbert. I don't think you're going to want to take that time away from him, but that we should start discussing openly when we will have a hearing on this, because it's so important with the process coming up. And I would hope that Facebook and others, and I see Mike Toner back there, who's been before us and educated us too on the Google matter, will help us figure out how to solve the problem and do it in a way that the democratic ideals can be preserved by giving disclaimers.
And if I can, Commissioner, second what you're saying, in that I think a rulemaking or some other policy statement or whatever. The commission does all kinds of things nowadays to put out guidance. I think that makes a lot of sense and is past due. I think with respect to the advisory opinion today, the question is what is the status quo in the meantime? And honestly, right now there are hundreds of campaigns running ads on social media and online, and 0% of them use disclaimers. Zero. Z-E-R-O. Zero. And I would suggest that if the commission wants to embark in a rulemaking that might alter the universe, including, by the way, some prominent campaigns that Corey mentioned, if that it is better for the commission, understanding that whatever rulemaking engages in can always overrule the AO, could always change the AO, could always vitiate the AO, that the right place for the commission to be today is where draft B is, which is where the entire regulated community. I mean, I look out, it's part of why I snapped a little bit, and I apologize about the comments filed. You've got comments by Democrats, you've got comments by Republicans, you've got comments from competitors of each other in the election law bar. What you don't have is a single comment from anyone who practices in this area that says, oh yeah. I mean, there's one comment that says that they visited a site and they saw a URL on a computer. It's not a disclaimer, it's just a URL. And I think that the right place to put the status quo pending that, I think, very important action is with draft B. I think if you were to adopt draft one of the other drafts as the status quo, you will cause an enormous amount of disruption in the campaign world. I mean, probably greater disruption than anything this agency has done, at least in my 17 years of practice. So I would urge it that if you want to engage in that dialogue, I would wholeheartedly endorse it, but I would say the status quo ought to be draft B. The second point I just want to make, Commissioner, is that as of today, Citizens United, the corporation, can run ads without disclaimers. And I agree with you that that is the problem, but that is not a solution that can be fixed by this advisory opinion. This advisory opinion is not going to change that. This advisory opinion is only going to penalize the campaigns and the registered party committees, because by and large, the only way that a corporation gets looped in is if it does express advocacy. And most of these ads don't, frankly, contain express advocacy. And therefore, I share your sentiment both on disclosure and on the need to do something policy, but I think that the status quo should be to agree with the small items allowance.
Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I also, as I said before, I'd be supportive of a hearing. I don't think we can actually pull it off in a month, because we'd have to draft a notice and give people an opportunity to comment and see who wanted to testify, and I think that would probably take us at least a few more weeks than that. But, you know, I'm in favor. Like I said, I like the last internet rulemaking. I will point out, however, that in that last internet rulemaking, you know, the reason that we got there was the commission initially said there will be no disclaimers on the internet. We're exempting the internet from all public communications, which had more ramifications than just disclaimers. But, you know, we're going to do a total carve-out for the internet. And there was a lot of sentiment in support of that. However, it got struck down. So, you know, sometimes people who want to have fewer restrictions, those things get struck down by courts too sometimes. So, you know, we had to do a rulemaking, and we did, you know, the rulemaking, and we came up with what we thought was a very tailored approach that said the only thing we're going to cover on the internet are paid advertising on other people's websites. Now, it and it's true, as the chair said, we didn't really talk about the size of the ads when we did that. That rulemaking was, as you know, widely acclaimed. The most popular thing we've ever done in my experience here was that rulemaking. Everybody said that's the right line to draw. But a lot of ads on the internet are small. So I think that potentially, you know, if we were to give you the relief that you ask for today, we would be carving a fairly large hole in that rulemaking and reverting to a substantial degree to the rule that was struck down, which was no disclaimers on the internet, public communications on the internet are exempt. And that is why I particularly think that that really needs to be done in a rulemaking context, not in response to an AO. That there are different disclaimer requirements for different entities is not our fault. That's the way the statute is written. And, you know, when you talk about you're placing a bump in the road, the statute requires those disclaimers. We didn't make this stuff up. The statute requires the disclaimers. You're looking for relief from the statutory requirement. And as I said, I'm prepared to be flexible in all kinds of ways, but to carve a big hole in the rule that we already adopted that everybody said was a great rule, I think really needs to be done in a rulemaking and not via an AO. And that's not a question.
Commissioner Peterson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. First, a question of my colleague, and then I have a couple of comments. You mentioned the internet rulemaking. The disclaimer requirement still applies, but it didn't specifically remove internet advertising from the scope of the small items and impracticability.
Didn't address it.
So on the one hand, it sounds like under your view of the internet, those couldn't apply. Just by theory, because it's this, you know, this limitless resource, there's all sorts of technological innovations going on. But on the other hand, that rulemaking specifically left in place the possibility that those exceptions could apply to advertising that's on the internet. Is that an accurate statement?
Well, I don't know if you can say that something specifically left in place a provision that wasn't in any way addressed in the rulemaking. I mean, it didn't.
It wasn't specifically taken away.
It wasn't taken away.
Therefore, by
it just wasn't
deduction,
just
still
wasn't
there.
Addressed. They exist side by side, and you know how one reconciles them. I think is, you know, what we're talking about here today.
Stay where I am. I support draft B. I think that there's been some mention about the small items and impracticable exceptions being old. You know, they were obviously crafted at a time when technology looked a lot different and the advertising techniques were a lot different, but that doesn't make them any less relevant. I think the same considerations that that dictate the size of buttons, that dictate the size of pencils, that dictate the size of bumper stickers, are the same sort of factors that dictate the size of internet ads on Facebook. I think that there have been some very compelling comments. You know, just one from AOL that was submitted by John Duffy, which says, here the size of the ad is not limited by the technology, but by consumer demand for a particular kind and quality of online experience, which compels many online companies to make online ads placed on certain sites as small as and unobtrusive as possible. And as has been pointed out by Mr. Elias and by Commissioner McGann, I mean, there's a technology that could that could make bigger bumper stickers, that could make bigger buttons, could make bigger pencils. I mean, that's not the issue. We as I think draft B accurately states, we take the medium as it stands, and as it stands now, the online experience, what consumers demand of their experience on Facebook is that ads be of a certain type. And I think we because of that, I think that fits comfortably and within the exceptions that are already on the books. And so just because those contemplated something different at the time doesn't mean that they can't be applied when technology evolves. And I think that we need to have that sort of flexible approach here. And again, I'm not even sure if flexibility is really even required. I think it fits squarely within without us having to really stretch the outer parameters of that exception. And on the issue of a rulemaking, I certainly don't oppose a rulemaking. I mean, we've now had basically the same request or something very similar. And I don't know how this one's going to turn out. That one turned out, you know, Google had their, they were permitted to do what they were requesting, but we didn't have an analysis. We had different opinions on the rationale there. So I don't have a problem with rulemaking, but on the issue of what the status quo is, we can either say, and we've heard from Mr. Owens, that basically if we say that you can't do it under your current system, that means that we're going to have political committees and campaigns as of today who are no longer going to be able to buy ads on Facebook for the foreseeable future. Who knows when we could get a rulemaking done? I think that's a status quo that would be incredibly unfortunate. And and especially in light of the fact that I'm aware of no evidence, I've seen nothing that's ever indicated that there's been any sort of fraud, any sort of confusion, any sort of corruption that has resulted from the lack of disclaimers on Facebook ads. And so if we're going to have a rulemaking, I think that the much more prudent course would be to permit these ads to continue to be put up on Facebook in the same manner that they've been put up for several election cycles, or at least I wouldn't know when Facebook became a prime political advertising site, but multiple election cycles. And in the meantime, gather information. If we, in the meantime, gather evidence that there are some problems and that there is confusion, that there is fraud, then in the rulemaking, we need to take those factors into account and craft a rule that accommodates those legitimate concerns with the, you know, with the concerns of making sure that this is an avenue where political candidates and committees can advertise. And I think that that would be perfectly appropriate. And if we need to craft the rule to better accommodate the varying interests, I think that that would be very appropriate. But in the meantime, I think that, again, without any evidence that there is anything, again, any confusion, corruption, any sort of deception going on because there aren't disclaimers, I think that we should approve the request. I support Draft B. And then I would support moving forward with the rulemaking. Not to step on my colleague, the vice chair is the kind of represents the Republicans on the rulemaking committee. But I hope I'm not jumping the gun. But I think that this is a subject that would be appropriate for rulemaking. But in the meantime, I think that we need to let Facebook continue to advertise as they've been advertising. I think it fits well within the regulatory exceptions that have been provided, and for that reason, I'm going to support Draft B.
Vice Chair Hunter.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I, too, support Draft B for all of the same reasons that my colleagues and Mr. Elias has outlined. I won't go through all of those again. But I agree with Commissioner Peterson, and I, too, would be willing to launch a rulemaking on this as soon as possible. I mean, I think a hearing's a good idea. I think a rulemaking's a good idea. I'd be willing to commit to doing that to change the rules post this election cycle and adopt Draft B in the interim.
Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a couple of things that I forgot to say before. First of all, I just want to make clear to everybody in the world, I am not in favor of larger Facebook ads. I hate Facebook ads, actually. You can make them even smaller, as far as I'm concerned. The fact that other people did not, that people in the election law bar or in some other portion of the bar did not come in and comment saying that, you know, we should have more rather than less regulation is not terribly surprising, because people don't usually pay their lawyers to say, go in and ask for more regulation, that's a good idea, or go in and ask for them to maintain the regulation that's the statute, the Tory provision that's already on the books. You know, people don't pay lawyers to make those kinds of comments. So it's not That's you know, I think we get better feedback in the rulemaking context. We usually get a broader base of comments, and you know, certainly in my case, I, you know, put my document out about 2 seconds before we walked into the room, which I apologize for, but, you know, obviously couldn't get any comments on that. The other point I wanted to make is that it's been said repeatedly, I think it's just inaccurate, that all the political committees are now going to have to take down their ads on Facebook if we don't adopt Draft B. I think that's fundamentally untrue. There is already a path under existing law, under existing AOs, for political committees to run ads on Facebook, and I suspect a lot of them are doing it exactly that way, which is to link to their own websites, and which will have disclaimers. And then those websites can, in whatever prominent way they want, you know, contain inducements to link to other sites. I realize that's not, you know, your preferred approach. You'd like to be able to have the infinite flexibility of, you know, clicking one click from the Facebook ad to whatever site the candidate or the party committee wants to go to. But there is, as I said, it's one click or two. There's a way of doing it. It may not be perfect, but there is a way of doing it. And I think we've tried to indicate that we're willing to be flexible with how the information is delivered, as long as it is delivered, because we think that's what the statute requires.
Is there any further discussion? Mr. Peterson.
If I can just follow up on the issue of the landing page, I think it's been pointed out by a number of commenters. The landing page option may be a good option if you have a website. Not everyone has a website, and basically upstart candidates and others who want to other committees that may not have a website, now that's going to force them to expend the resources to maintain a website presence. Maybe it's easy for some, maybe it's not easy for others, but it seems like this is something that penalizes, again, upstart challengers, small political committees that we're going to now say not only do you in order to advertise on Facebook, you now as a price for doing that, it's not only the price that you're paying to Facebook to run the ad, it's also the price that you're going to have to pay to maintain a website, whatever, you know, what you're going to have to pay to your internet service provider, to pay a designer to make your website and so forth. And I think that that could unfairly penalize smaller committees and smaller campaigns.
If I could just respond, I understand that concern. I think that I hear your concern on that, but I think there's a lot of, you know, I don't think we're demanding a full-blown website. In fact, you could link from your Facebook ad to your Facebook page, which Facebook will provide you with an opportunity to put that for free, and you could put your disclaimer on your Facebook page, as many committees already do. Put the full disclaimer right on their Facebook page profile. It's sort of instead of like a status of, you know, obviously married, unmarried doesn't matter to political committees, but it says about, and many political committees, including party committees, include the full disclaimer right on their Facebook page. So I hear the concern, and I think we could all probably come up with, you know, situations where if draft A or C were to be adopted, would be, you know, in make their lives more difficult. But those hypotheticals are exactly the sorts of things that I think we would need to try to figure out in a broader forum. I just can't get there in an AO context. So if it's not been clear from my comments, one of the reasons that the language about the Google AO was added to draft A was just to make clear, which is stating the obvious, particularly to Requesters Council, that there are AOs out there that would govern that are valid, and if a political committee wanted to take advantage of them, they still exist. Now, adding that language to the draft might have actually raised more questions than it answered in terms of what it really means. But I think it was only an attempt to point out, which, as everyone already knows, is that Google is out there. It is available. It has 4 votes for the alternative that was presented by that request. It wasn't an attempt to push that alternative onto this requester. It was just stating that Google is, of course, out there. So that's just an explanation of some of the language that was in the draft A that I think, again, may have raised more questions than it answered, and maybe in hindsight we should have just let the obvious be unsaid, which is an existing AO that has 4 votes governs conduct that falls within it. Is there further discussion? Commissioner Walther?
Yes, I just wanted to, I'm going to support draft C, but I just wanted to say I assumed that the technology would be moving quickly where the money is, like it should. That's understandable, and that there must be a commercial need to provide things like the pop-ups. And just the way I wish I would pay more attention when I'm on my computer. There are times when my mouse will hit something and I'll get a whole slug of information, whether it's alternate ways to reach a URL or another kind of way to spell a word or other types of things that they think I'm thinking of, books they think I ought to buy. So there must be ways to do it. And I think in terms of the huge, not just politically, which I realize is seasonal, but like the medical community, which to me is very important for everybody to be able to understand what's out there for them. There must be a way to try and help facilitate that. But even if the car companies are the biggest customers of Facebook, I mean, there must be ways in which they would benefit by a pop-up, too, where you could have this is really a novice on my end, but, you know, you might have a national ad says a big deal for this week for Chevrolets, and then the local guy has a pop-up saying where you can find him. There must be a lot of commercial ways that this kind of technology would be helpful. And, I mean, I think it would be helpful, obviously, to the democratic system if it were available. In draft B, I was going to add some language just to make clear what I think was a concern to Commissioner Peterson. Well, then,
draft.
Let me finish. Where the language says other technological means of providing the required information may also be available or developed, then I was to add the essential requirement, in my view, would be implementation of a methodology that provides for contemporaneous display of the required disclaimer information, whether electronically, such as rollovers or pop-ups or other similar means, or in writing, such as a Facebook page or other page on the Internet that is activated by the ad, whether by touching, use of a mouse, viewing, because I guess viewing now can do that, or other means, simply to point out that to me personally, it doesn't make any difference if it hits a page or not. If it's a way for somebody reads it, that's good enough for me. Now, that's just a personal view, and it got dropped out by my Democratic colleagues, but I would be normally inclined to support that type of language. Jesse.
Is there any further discussion?
I have a question.
Mr. Elias has a question.
And the answer may be no, but would the committee, given the late submission of C, we obviously favor draft B, but there has been no opportunity for us or anyone to comment on. So with all due respect, there's now a lot of discussion of technological things. Does the commission believe that it would be appropriate to hold over for comment, for further comment, in light of the fact that most of the comments have been in favor or opposed to A or B, when in fact it looks like the debate is actually between B or C, and the comments haven't really addressed B or C? I don't know whether that would be useful for the commission.
Can I ask counsel, when is our 60 days on this?
July 5th.
I think a question, I guess, for my colleagues is do we? We're always happy to hear comments, but if it's not going to result in a different result, then, you know, perhaps.
I don't think he's asking us. We're on B. Yeah. I think he's trying to convince you off of C to B. So I think you need to look that direction.
There's light on that side of the room. I was just, yeah.
Sunshine.
Was it? I fully understood where folks were. I guess it was a question. I understand where. I think I understand where the votes are. If there's a consensus to seek comment, despite the fact that we think we know where the votes are and we could conclude this matter today, that's what I'm asking my colleagues about. Commissioner Weintraub.
I'm not sure at the end of the day it would make a difference. And I mean, the information that you provided at the table, you know, I suspect is what would come back to us again in comments, and I think, you know, that's I thought I had a cool solution, right? I thought I had it covered with the rollovers, and what you're telling me is that that's not going to work, and I hear that, but I think getting more comments saying that probably is not going to change the vote at the end of the day. I think, you know, what you're hearing is that several of us think that to do something more extensive would we would feel the need for a rulemaking.
Commissioner McGann.
Even though I said we're all on B, I mean, it's not going to change my vote, but to the extent the requester wants to be able to comment on a draft that some are going to support and wants to make a record in writing as to what they think of the draft and take the issues head on, I certainly don't oppose holding it over. Not going to change my mind, but they may have reasons why they want to make the record, and given that he kind of hinted at holding it over, maybe I asked the requester, is it worth holding it for a couple weeks because you want to do comments, or are you happy where we are?
If if it is not going to, if there is no prospect for it resulting in a different approach, then no. I raised it only because I know that obviously the commission has had very weighty things on the agenda for today, other than this. Not to suggest, obviously all things before the commission are important, but obviously you've had a lot of things. It's a very busy agenda. You've had a lot of important things, and I knew this draft C originated later in the process than might otherwise be the case. If that therefore was going to be a useful exercise for it to be open for there to be comment on it, because things might look different or gel differently with the benefit of rumination and further deliberation, then I wanted to make that offer. If that is decidedly not the case, then I think we've made, I think the record is clear as to where we stand on behalf of Facebook.
Commissioner Peterson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would, earlier the impassioned pleas were coming from the other side of the dais, but I'll make my own to see whether or not any of my colleagues would at all be open to at least considering a stripped down yes in this one, a la the way we did it in Google, which was obviously a very unsatisfying way to get to a yes. I think getting to a yes there was important. I mean, obviously, it would be like taking a drink of warm water when you're thirsty, but it would give the requester an answer. And I'm just wondering, would there be any appetite for at least considering that possibility of a stripped down yes?
I think from my perspective, the way we got to the, I guess, stripped down version of yes in Google was that there was an alternative disclaimer offered. And I assume since the same requester's counsel is before us and we do not see an alternative, there is no alternative that this requester would like us to approve. And I think that's the challenge here, is we could make up something perhaps, but I don't think that's really appropriate given that the requester hasn't provided us with what would work for that particular this particular company. Commissioner Hunter.
I have a question for counsel.
Yes.
Does counsel think that anything in the Google AO, the stripped down Google AO, changed Target Wireless in any way?
No.
Okay, thank you.
Commissioner Weintraub.
I appreciate the offer from Commissioner Peterson. I wish I could think of a way to do that. I just, you know, as it is in C, I try to offer alternative ways of accommodating the statute and what requesters wanted to do, but they haven't actually suggested that they want to do any of those things or that they could do any of those things. So you look like you're leaning forward into the mic, Mr. Elias. Do you have a suggestion?
That's why I asked the question. I'm picking up a little bit on the point that you're making and that Commissioner Peterson made, which is that, and I'm not, this is, again, I'm not complaining about this, but we walked in this morning, got a new draft. To the extent that it reflects an effort, I'm not trying to characterize this, but it reflects an effort to try to move one side, the other side, a third side, whatever, to something that would be some form of yes with various reasons. Would it benefit from further deliberations of even a day? You know, wouldn't have to necessarily be a hearing again. You know, maybe you have to under your rules, but. You know, would it, is there, you seem to lay on the table a series of possibilities. I don't know whether those are the only possibilities. They are not obviously possibilities that came from us.
They were not intended to be the only possibilities. I guess my question back to you is, I would be happy to give you the opportunity to try and come up with a suggestion that you think might, you know, I can't see it sitting here. I can't figure out how to do what we did in Google. I would like to do that. I'm always looking for a way to say yes with four votes if we can, but I'm not personally seeing that. You know, if you think you're just going to repeat on paper what you've told us here today, I think that's probably not going to move anybody anywhere else other than where they already are. But if you think, you know, given 24 or 48 hours, you know, you could come up with some brilliant inspiration for how we could, you know, kind of meld the two approaches, I'd be willing to listen to it.
Did you want to provide a response? Otherwise, I think Commissioner Walther wanted
to. Go ahead.
Okay.
I don't know. You know, I don't know. There were a series of, I think, three questions we posed at the end of our comments that I guess I would want to understand how whatever view, whatever, to take the experience of last time where there was a yes with then multiple opinions. I think if I understood, it would be helpful to understand, though, for example, what do you do with Party 441AD? What does C contemplate a
I apologize. I didn't mean to smirk or interrupt you, but I think getting a consensus of four and what 441AD means is might be more than we're up for in at this moment in time.
Okay.
I didn't mean to interrupt your answer, but I what I think I hear you saying is there are questions that you would, if we were to try to do a streamlined yes, as Commissioner Peterson is proposed, there are still questions that you would want answered to be useful to this requester. Am I paraphrasing what you were trying to say correctly?
Yes, or there might be further accommodations. For example, I don't mean to suggest that I've heard anything today to say that this is going to be the case, but one or more of the commissioners might determine that, for example, in the case of Party 441D expenditures, it is impracticable. That they can get to yes on that, right? That might be. I don't know. Maybe the answer is no. There isn't. We have reached a complete impasse in the Google experience. We started at impasse. We had another round of comments, and then there seemed to be a way to get to at least some consensus position. I don't know whether that is complete futility here or not, because I don't know the extent to which the late draft represents kind of the final explication of how, of what other than a paid for by X party, www.xparty.com, and not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee in a box, right? How you see represents some movement from there, right? Not to be, but some movement from there. I don't know whether there is any other places of potential movement in C that might yield some agreement or compromise, at least on some pieces of an outcome.
Commissioner Weintraub.
I think, yeah, I was taking a quick look at these questions at the end of your comment, and I think actually C does address some of them, if not all of them. You know, fundamentally what C says is any way you can provide this information, you know, it doesn't have to be squished into that same little box. Any way you can provide the information, as long as you provide the information, that'll work.
So let me give you sort of two hypotheticals.
Okay.
One is, clearly in the case of political committees linking to their own website, the answer to that would seem to be yes, right?
And I think that's already covered by Google.
Okay, but
easy. Yes.
But it's still, you know, it may be every journey begins with a single step. Right?
Yes, I'm happy to be able to say, you know, yes to something to you, Mr.
If a Morris. if a party committee is reflecting on their FEC report that they made a coordinated party expenditure with a payment to Facebook, does that do enough? I mean, maybe the answer is no, but I guess
that
what I'm saying...
That might be a little too attenuated.
Okay, but this is my point, is I don't know the extent to which C represents, you know, whether there is a way to try to, on at least some of these questions, move closer, even if in the end there won't be a yes. There may be deadlock on pieces, but there may be a way to get to some greater clarity for the regulator. I don't know.
I think, from my perspective, I think it's difficult because I think we all at different times remind ourselves that the goal here is to answer the question that's been asked by the requester. And the question that was asked was, do these exemptions apply? And I think, as I mentioned earlier, I think draft A and an attempt in draft C is to state, again, that Google is out there and if that complies, and I think I support Commissioner Weintraub's efforts to basically say that if you can provide a disclaimer in a readable, usable way, but that's not in the little box, either in a rollover or in some other way that exists. And again, I don't think without suggesting that has to be the way Facebook or any other company develops that, but to sort of state that kind of flexibility, as long as it's still there. But I think from the challenge is that some of us think the disclaimer requirement applies and some of us don't. So it's in Google, it was easier to come to a stripped down yes because there was an alternative disclaimer provided in the request. So it's not clear to me that possibility exists here. That's my view.
Yeah, I'm not seeing where else this would go that would be of benefit to you. I'm just not seeing how to get there.
Commissioner Walther.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have a hard time saying no to more information, but I'm not sure. In your own minds, you can hear us rattling around trying to learn as much as we can about what the options are or how it can be done. And if in your own mind you think we can benefit by anything, then I think we ought to try and be open to that. Now I know that the issue, and I think my language was dropped, as I understand it, from the draft C, because it appeared like we were into the rulemaking business, and it may I think as you approach this, it may even look like that even more so, if we were trying to craft something new that's out of the parameters of a request already. But on the other hand, I guess we just have to face that when it came to it. So I wouldn't say no to more information. I think it would be helpful. You'd have to scratch your head and see if you could help us along the way there, because right now we're operating on a request. What we've got, our own preconceived notions of where we ought to go, and so I don't know if it would be helpful. I wouldn't want to set up an expectancy that something great would come from it, but I don't know.
Is there any further discussion?
So your thought would be, what were you thinking then? I noticed that there's kind of a back and forth in your own mind about how to respond to this. Is this a morass you want to just get the vote over with?
Is it possible to consult for 5 minutes? And
sure. Why don't we take a 5-minute break? Everyone could probably use that. We'll come back to order 5 minutes after we took a little break.
Not a bad guy.
Yeah.
He'll be on your side.
Is there any further discussion on these drafts, or are we ready for motions? Was there? Did we have a question pending? But I think Mr. Elias had asked for a moment to consult,
right?
And that was in response to someone's question about. Was it in response to your question, Commissioner Weintraub?
Why don't we just say this? Do you have anything that further that you'd like to communicate with us after consultation with your client?
Absent some any conversations that you all have had among yourselves, it appears you're likely to deadlock, which I think will be unfortunate. We believe that Target Wireless remains, absent some some absent an affirmative vote of four commissioners, Target Wireless remains controlling, and we believe that it will be relied on by the regulated community. So we're not asking for further time unless the commissioners themselves believe that there is a compromise or something that can be reached.
Thank you. Any discussion by commissioners? Is there a motion? Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move approval of draft C.
Any discussion on the motion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed?
No.
Motion fails 3-3. Is there another? Commissioner, Vice Chair Hunter.
I move agenda document 11-32-A, which has been referred to today as draft B.
Is there any discussion on the motion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed?
No.
No. Motion fails 3-3. We will ask counsel's office to send a letter to requester indicating what they already know, that there's the commission will not be able to provide an answer on the request.